The Lord be with you.
And
also with you. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Throughout the readings chosen for today, there's a particular theme. It's important, and it's commented on in different ways. It's the theme of belonging. Human beings are social beings by nature, and we long to be welcomed and feel part of groups both large and small, from our immediate families and friends to the wider communities in which we live and work. The church has long been a place where people have sought and found a sense of community, drawn together by faith and the teachings which unite us with the spirit of grace and hospitality. The first variation on belonging is in the reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It speaks of belonging because its very core is a description of humanity's relationship to God, or more precisely, how God relates to humanity. That relationship is one of intense love. God calls humanity, loves each of us, knows us by name, and because God loves us so much, we can rest easily and trust that God is with us whatever happens. There is the divine promise that we will not be alone in times of adversity because God cares about us and for us. The passage ends with a final image of a divine community where humankind is gathered from the ends of the earth to be in the presence of God, who loves them, cares for them, and watches over them. This is a powerful image that gives us a sense of hope and gives comfort that we are always a part of something much bigger and grander than anything we could imagine. The second version of belonging is seen in the Acts of the Apostles, where the people of Samaria have come to believe, and Peter and John travel from Jerusalem to minister to them. This belonging is a vision of being part of the early church, of the Christian community, and being part of something which is beyond individuals. Peter and John go to Samaria to support the people with prayer, and I like to think to celebrate with them. The Samaritans had joined the emerging Christian community through baptism, expressing their faith in God, and in an early church form of confirmation, Peter and John lay hands on them and pray that they may receive the Holy Spirit. Here, we have a clear vision of baptism as the way in which humanity responds to the love of God in a tangible way. Baptism is our human way of signifying that we understand the depth of love God has for us and that we wish to live according to that love and to be set aside as people who are God's and who love. Then we have the passage from the Gospel according to Luke. The final part of that passage sees Jesus himself being baptized, which is the focus of today's worship. But let's not jump to that too soon. It opens with a discussion about John the Baptist. Who is he? Is he the Messiah? Like all good prophets, John clearly and unequivocally points the people to Christ, proclaiming both his coming and that he is one who is more powerful. the image of Christ with winnowing fork in hand, burning the chaff once the grain is gathered in, is somewhat a stark one. There is judgment. But this is described as good news, which is proclaimed to the people. Christ's judgment is one that is tempered with the love and mercy of God. The same divine love depicted in the book of the prophet Isaiah, only this time it is embodied in the flesh and blood of the living Christ. And then we come to Christ's own baptism. Often baptisms are associated with a cleansing from sin, and that is part of our baptismal liturgy and an important one. But I think the key feature of Christ's baptism is the revelation of his identity. His baptism was the point where the voice from heaven declared to the world that he is God's Son, the Beloved, and that he carries divine favour. The voice proclaims, "With you I am well pleased." New Testament scholar Brendan Byrne, in his commentary on the Gospel according to Luke, highlights humanity's being drawn back into relationship with God through Christ in this moment of Christ's baptism. He explains, and I quote, "The messianic mission for which Jesus is now empowered will principally consist in drawing human beings into the filial relationship with God that he enjoys as the beloved Son. To experience the Spirit is to know one is at home within the family of God." This final vision of belonging again speaks of the power of baptism to demonstrate that we are God's and are willing to live our lives by the teaching of Christ, which are the teachings of love. These teachings ask us to be people whose calling cards are empathy, compassion, and generosity. And when we put this into action, they are gifts to the world which make our communities stronger, but also make the world into a better and more blessed place. Our sense of community, both local, more broadly, and even as an international community, has suffered over the course of the COVID pandemic, with the sense of dislocation and disconnection that isolation and lockdowns have brought. However, through Christ, we can still be assured that we have both an opportunity and an imperative to be empathetic, caring, and kind, reaching out to those around us and supporting each other in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. Rowan Williams, in his 2014 work, Being Christian, said the following, "To be baptized is to recover the humanity that God first intended. What did God intend? He intended that humanity and human beings should grow into such love for him and such confidence in him that they could rightly be called God's sons and daughters." And I feel there is much thought, food for thought, in Archbishop Rowan's writing. So my prayer for us all, as we remember and celebrate the baptism of Christ, is that we may treasure that in Christ's baptism, the world was assured of God's ongoing and boundless love for all people, that we may know ourselves deeply loved and blessed, and that we can share that love and blessing with those around us, this day and always. The Lord be with you.